from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
To the team, the Houston Texans that are here. Man, I hope you guys really take this in, enjoy it, cherish it, because one day, one of you guys gonna be standing up here, man. D'Amico, I love you, brother. I appreciate you.
Okay, so that was Andre saluting the current Texans team. Text message. Were y'all disappointed that they never showed D'Amico in the current Texans team? It was such a cool story. I'm assuming the cool story being that they were all there for it and they never showed them on camera. My hypothesis on this, that salute to the Texans team came after the telestrator went out for Andre Johnson. And Andre said that the telestrator went out in the middle of his speech. There was a long pause, after which he thanked his mom. People construed that pause as collecting his emotions, which he may have well have been doing as well. But the telestrator went out in that moment, so there was also a functional pause to go, okay, what do I do here now? And Andre handled it great. He was much more off the cuff in the second half of the speech. My guess is that part of being off the cuff was maybe going a little out of order with who he was thanking. And the you got to imagine, you got to keep in mind, the producers who all day long were batting practically 1,000 with putting the camera feed onto the person or people that the speech giver was talking about, clearly they had copies of the speech with cameras ready to go. If the telestrator goes out and a guy just starts speaking spontaneously off the cuff, they were probably looking at the order going, all right, well, up next he's going to thank his sister April. And, you know, then, you know, he ends up thanking the Texans team, and now they've got to go finding him. They don't have time to find D'Amico and the team. So probably a little too inside there, but that's why. Like, if you're upset about it, well, I don't think it was any intent.
Well, because especially, you know, TV people being who they know what they're doing. A chance to show C.J. Stroud or something. Because when they showed, when he referenced his former teammates, when Andre references former teammates, they had J.J. Watt for a good amount of time. Then they showed the group of former teammates.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, I think you're exactly right. They probably, they definitely would have dialed in on D'Amico, and they definitely would have dialed on, when he talked about the current team and guys that might be in the Hall of Fame someday, they would have been right in on C.J. Stroud.
Is that who popped into your brain immediately when he said, one of you is going to be in here someday?
Yeah, the quick scan was, for one, I don't think, Danielle Hunter's not really on pace to be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
He's in the Hall of very, very good and under-recognized,
Diggs.
I think. But C.J. Stroud, and I didn't think of Stephon Diggs because I don't yet think of him as an actual Texan yet until I see him in a Texans game
he's
uniform.
He's wild, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
And Will Anderson.
It's early.
It's a shorter leap of imagination for C.J. Stroud than it is Will Anderson right now.
Sure.
Because C.J. showed enough in his rookie year already, I think, that, all right, if he stays healthy and he continues to have offensive coordinators with whom he works well, because I think at some point Bobby Slowick's going to get a head coaching opportunity.
Yes.
That's a little bit more attainable right now. Will, there's still growth that we need to see with Will.
Agreed. Andre Johnson was on the NFL Network over the weekend, and they asked him, hey, man, you're around the team a lot. Tell us your thoughts on C.J. Stroud.
For me, it's not surprising. I remember first time meeting CJ right after he got drafted. I always go meet the new guys that they bring in, and you know, it was just something about him. He's just different. You know, he's very, very, very mature. You would think he's played this game for. He's not the rookie. Yeah, I think he played for a number of years. So what he's done, it doesn't really surprise me. And he's a great leader. I mean, he came in right away and earned the team's respect. So I'm just looking forward to it.
I think him meeting, I remember I was doing the draft broadcast on the second night. And I remember walking into the cafeteria because I was doing it from the stadium with Mark and John. And I remember walking into the cafeteria and seeing CJ and Will sitting down with Andre and I think Travis Johnson and somebody else. But I remember just seeing Andre sitting with those two guys. And I was like, well, that is a good influence on these guys. Yeah.
Yes.
It was really, and they were just sitting at the table chatting, you know. It was cool, and like to see Andre as involved with the current team as he is, and with those guys, like, you know, CJ especially, he's a football junkie. Like, he's a football nerd. He's just, from the time he was young, he just sits around watching quarterbacks and football teams on YouTube. That's how he learned to have such a good throw. Despite not having the high-priced, fancy tutors that guys like Bryce Young had, CJ had the best throwing mechanics of the entire lot that year in the draft class because he's such a football junkie. I bet CJ just loves talking to Andre. Just,
I bet he
just
does, too.
Nuts and bolts, X's and O's, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. So that was Andre on CJ Stroud. CJ was actually on a podcast the last few days called the Sport and Spectrum Podcast. I wasn't familiar with it till I saw these cuts, some of which you're about to hear from CJ Stroud. I think the sense that I get, Seth, is it's a podcast that combines sports and faith. Is the sense that I get just based on the clips that I've seen from CJ and the host that he was talking to and the vast majority of the topics that's bubbled to the surface. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but the cuts that have bubbled to the surface seem to blend those two. But the thing that CJ Stroud's trying to really work on, among many things this offseason, trying to work on his potty mouth, man.
I don't know. I was watching an interview that I was doing a couple of days ago, and I'm like, man, like, why am I saying this or I'm saying that? Like, that's not even me. Like, I don't know where. And then what he was saying is like, man, sometimes like the issue isn't necessarily the issue. It's the emotion that comes with it.
Yeah. So,
like, when you get emotional about something, like when I get emotional about like football, I'm like, I'm just feeling the emotion that I get on the field. I like start to like play the game or like feed into the profanity, you know? And I'm like, I caught it. And I'm like, hold on, like, this isn't right. You know what I mean? And I remember watching a TikTok. I get like a lot of my like faith videos on TikTok. And I remember watching a certain guy. He was in prison for like 20 something years. And that was the thing that he learned while he was in prison. He was like, man, like, there was guys who I would try to like lead to Christ, but they're like, man, like, you talk like I do. And he was like, they wouldn't follow me after like that type of leadership. I got to be better. So that's how I just want to get better.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it kind of goes, it's a fine line to walk though too, when, you know, CJ is very much one of the guys, but he also has, you know, his personal life and his faith and everything else, to where I he's probably, when he's talking about, you know, if he was watching and he saw it as a podcast environment,
100%,
where
he took the words right out of my mouth.
Hanging out, one of the guys, and you forget that it's being recorded. You forget that it's on camera.
Yes,
and I mean, they've done studies on this. There's a different part of your brain that you tap into when you start using curse words. It's really fascinating when you get into all the like different areas of your brain are activated and everything. So it's one of those small things though that. I think in minding your language, you have to have a level of discipline and restraint that flows over into other parts of your life. And it's one of those, like, it's a hygiene matter almost, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little thing that actually has outsized effects in a lot of ways. And it probably just speaks to CJ wanting to do the right thing all the time, which is good. And he also, like, Ohio State is one thing. But it's a different level in the NFL in terms of your influence on young people, especially, like, you know, young people nationwide. He probably feels that responsibility now.
Well, I would imagine when you're open about your faith like he is, you know, there's a lot of people that follow him for that reason.
Yeah.
And he wants to be true to that. Here's one more from CJ Stroud. Again, this is the Sport and Spectrum podcast. This is a good one, man. Something else he's trying to improve at? People pleasing, and maybe getting better at discerning when to people please.
One of the things that I definitely need to get better at is people pleasing. I think something that I just try to be a nice dude, just try to do what my parents have raised me to be, respectful young man. And I think a lot of people can take that and they can run with it. And I've been praying for discernment on who to give that to, who not to, protecting my peace, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I think I can run dry and I don't want to ever, meet somebody or have a conversation with one person and somebody used 80% of my energy in a day and I only give them that 20%. It's not enough. I want to be able to discern through that. And, that was one thing that I feel like last year, just in a new role, in a new environment, a new league, it was just a lot of people picking at me. And now I kind of just want to be able to discern who I should, give my all to.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Especially when social media is involved.
Yep.
And I was like, man, I'm watching the Simone Biles documentary slowly. And it's really good. It's really good. The one thing, though, that I keep seeing is, man, these mentions, these things that people say on the internet to Simone Biles, especially after she got the twisties in the 2020 Olympics, that are just so just callous and cruel and awful. And I don't know what to say to somebody like Simone Biles because, for somebody like her, that's part of her livelihood too. But just figuring out a way to filter some of that out because you're never going to – you see this with athletes all the time. They don't get that you're never going to win that battle. There's always going to be ugliness on the internet. There's always going to be viciousness and toxicity on social media, and you're never going to win that battle. So you got to figure out a way to tune it out because it's almost – the more somebody claims they don't care about it, the more they probably do really care about it. It affects you. It's impossible. Even if 99 comments don't affect you, there's going to be that one. And then all of a sudden you're making a decision based on some nameless, faceless person on the internet in your life. It's really hard to do.
That's really interesting. As I'm going back through that cut from CJ in my head, I could totally see that, what you're talking about. Being the people pleasing he's talking about. It's interesting because when I heard that, I started thinking about maybe him saying yes to a lot of things.
That too. I think it's all that.
Yes.
It's right. Especially when you wanted to, with charity's a hard one,
Yeah.
The more famous you get as an athlete, the more people want you to do nice things and you'd love to do every single one of them, but it turns into for all those guys who have done such incredible work with charities, they've had to say no to so many other opportunities.
Yes.
And it eats at those guys. It's really, really hard. That's where having that support staff and having a system of gatekeepers really comes in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
That's a relatable one, and I'm not comparing myself to CJ Stroud, but in the business that you and I are in, we get asked to do a lot of things. You know, whether it's for the company or for a charity or for a listener, we have a lot of people asking us stuff. And that was honestly like when I write down my things going into a year that I'm trying to get better at, because I do that.
Yeah.
Coming into this year, one of the things I wrote down was get better at saying no to things. You know, like get better at saying no. Because there was a weekend last year, it was right around this time, because it was during training camp when we're super busy. And it was just like a period of like 6 days that I had stuff going, like from the time you and I started the show till nighttime. And I, like 3 days in, I guess outwardly I was in a really bad mood, because Amy was like, man, what's wrong? Like, so what's eating at you? And I'm like, I think it's because these 6 days are super busy, and like none of it is for me. Like at the end of like these 6 days, like I've accomplished, and I'm all for doing stuff for other people, but like that was my tipping point for me individually last year, was that period of time. So I listened to that one and I'm like, I get it for CJ. It's like what I'm talking about for me times 1,000. But that's a good one. I like that one.
You know, one thing too, sometimes a barrier to saying no is that you think you have to have an excuse.
Yeah.
When you don't, you can just say, no, I can't do it. And if somebody presses you for an excuse, that's their social faux pas, not yours. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I've got something else. That something else might be that you just need to sit at home and relax.
Yes.
But it's nobody else's business what your conflict is.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people struggle with that part of it. Just remember, okay, you're a good person. You like to do nice things. You're not going to do this. And if they press you for a reason, that's on them. That's a bastard of a person. They're not bastards, but in that moment, like, you know, you don't owe it to them to tell them why.
Compliment for you on the text page, Seth. I can tell you look slimmer on your YouTube channel. Yep, I think you do. There are folks also wanting to know how you ration out the 1,200 calories for three meals a day.
Okay. It's not a look.
You missed it. Seth's been on a 1,200 calorie.
1,200 to 1,800. Okay. 1,200 to 1,800 calories a day. It depends, and I go a lot by feel. Though, okay, the first thing. Now, this is the hard part. There's no easy way on this. I prepped for it by doing, I think it was about 6 to 9 months of an hour a day of like slow, low intensity cardio, where my heart rate doesn't get above 115 or so, like really low intense. It takes a lot of mental toughness to like work out without it feeling like a workout.
Yeah.
Like you want to like start sweating and breathing more. Mm-hmm. Basically to teach my body to just be more metabolically flexible, that I can burn fat more, just more efficiently, so that I don't get hunger pains so drastically and that I don't feel wiped out, you know. And I didn't go like super low carb or anything. I just wanted to get my body better at burning fat. And once I felt like I got there, then I started like really just drastically reducing how much food I eat. And I can tell when I'm hungry, but I don't feel like I've got to eat now. I don't get like hypoglycemic. And then it's just, so it's like, it's Greek yogurt, it's fruit and vegetables, and what else do I eat? I think that's pretty much, tuna.
Yeah.
And like real lower, you know, low fat proteins,
Do you have a time window where you start eating and stop eating during the day?
No, I don't. I go all by feel, and like sometimes, a lot of the times I just eat one meal a day, so that if I eat like 1,500 calories in a day, it's a really gratifying meal. I feel like way too full afterwards. But if I start to feel kind of wiped out, I eat 3,000 calories in a day. I'll have a limit of 3,000. I usually don't even get to I'll allow myself 3,000, but I don't get to it because I just don't get as gnawingly hungry. I've got plenty of fat left. I've got plenty of fat on my body to use as a fuel.
Not as much as you used to, man.
But no, when I get to that point, and I'm just doing it by my only motivator is getting my blood pressure lower.
There you go.
I'm monitoring my weight, but that's not what I just check. I don't check it every day. I just check my blood pressure. Like when I hit 120 over 80, it felt like the first time I'd benched 400.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, I didn't think that was possible.
Good for you, man.
So now I'm chasing 110 over 70.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the chase for 110 over 70. Should post it on social media, the tracking of it. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Hall of Fame game last Thursday. We gave our initial reactions, which for me and Seth at 6 a.m. is kind of a rapid fire what we saw in the game. We both had a chance to rewatch things, and I think we both saw some good and bad. I know there's a couple things that we want to have back and maybe adjust our assessment of here. We will do that, give you some leftovers from the Hall of Fame game. coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.